James chapter 3, verse 13, through chapter 4, verse 3. Listen to the word of God. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it. So you commit murder and you covet something and cannot obtain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. Okay. Last week, Brian Ralston, as always, did an excellent job of walking us through James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, with regard to the issue of taming our tongues. And he concluded, as James does, in verses 9 through 12 of chapter 3, by pointing out the absolute incongruity of vile words pouring out of Christian mouths. It does not add up. James was telling us, when someone whose heart belongs to Jesus vomits out words that we would only expect on the lips of the prince of darkness, the Lord of the flies. The old truism is, and I suspect you've heard this, that you can tell what actually fills someone's heart by what spills out of their mouth when you bump into them. In other words, if you can picture this, you are walking through the Centennial Hall and you bump into someone who is carrying a cup of coffee and you are so embarrassed and apologetic. But they say, bless your heart, it's no problem, it's okay. I can't tell you how many times I've done that myself. I'll just grab a paper towel and a little more coffee. And hey, can I get you some coffee while I'm at it? That's what you'd expect. That's different than if the Christian you bump into says, a la Doc Martin, idiot, watch where you're going. What do you think this is, a racetrack? And huffs away in disgust. Does that sound impossible. I wish it was. But even at church, there are some Christians who can't hold a civil tongue for 2 hours. You see, mastery of the tongue is a sign, James says, of wisdom. But in today's text, James wants to remind us that from God's perspective, wisdom is not just some philosophical theory. Wisdom, according to James, is something that has to be demonstrated in our daily lives. Wisdom is when we take the truth of the Word of God and so incarnate it. We get it into our flesh. We marinate in it until it's really a part of who we are. And it begins to reform and reshape who we are, and especially the way we live our lives. You see, you know and I know there are lots of smart people out there. There are. There are people who have IQs that make Ivy League colleges drool. We want them, right? But being smart and being wise are two different things entirely. I've known PhDs, doctors, ostensibly brilliant people who have lived foolish and ruinous lives. And I have known, happily, more than a few Christian women and men who don't have a single sheepskin on their wall, but their spiritual depth and the biblical wisdom integrated into the way they do their life put me to shame. And I quickly recognized I would be a lot wiser by God's standards if I would just quit pontificating and instead just watch the way they live and how they treat people and how they respond in a crisis and the relationally bountiful results of their interpersonal behavior. If I can put it this way, truly wise people play well with other people. James asked us this morning, who is wise and understanding among you? And then he says, show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. Now let me tell you what I think complicates our journey toward wise living. If that's even part of our goal in life. You see, I don't know, honestly, if being wise is on everyone's bucket list, but if being wise is one of the things you really want out of life, it has to be an intentional pursuit. It has to be an intentional pursuit if it's even on your list anywhere. A lot of people have a list. They have their bucket list. They want to get rich. They want sex, and they want it now. They want to win at any cost. They want their team to win the series. They wouldn't mind even getting even with everyone who ever hurt them. But wisdom, or rather the pursuit of wisdom, strikes them as a somewhat esoteric exercise in navel-gazing and wool-gathering for people too bored, or frankly, too boring, to be of much practical interest or time anyway. Pursuing wisdom is literally the last thing they would want to give valuable time to. And folks, it shows. Living wisely isn't even a subpoint on their personal mission statement agenda. They want to invest wisely. They want to buy wisely. They want to be conversationally clever. They want to be in the know. They want to hang out with the right people. And they want literally to look smart. But here is the complication. If you want to do all those things, and if you want to have that look, you can find a ton of resources. Now, let me strike that. The resources will find you. Unless you live entirely off the grid, the resources for making it in this world will come pouring into your smartphone and your iPod and your iPad and your zillion channel television. I don't think we can entirely shut out its influence, its ability to wriggle into our consciousness. So even as Christians who just might sincerely want to live wisely according to the teaching and standards of the Word of God, we have to try and listen closely for it amid the cacophony of pundits on the left and on the right, wise guys and gurus, life coaches and celebrities, seminars and financial seismographs, self-appointed teachers and fashionistas, podcasts and pontificating pop and rap stars, tele-evangelists for every kind and cause of life and lifestyle, until you wonder who in the world is telling the truth. Does anyone have a clear idea, a consistent understanding of what is going on? Does anyone really get it? If getting it means knowing the truth about why we are here in the first place, or what is the purpose of our life? Or do we just have to launch into, I don't know, some or a couple of different directions and hope that one of them might lead to meaning and life? And the good news is, of course, that God knows. The God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who made us in his own image, the God who loves us, present tense, so much that he became the crucified God, so that we might live in eternal relationship with him, that God. He knows, and he alone tells us the truth. He alone can tell us the only wise way to live. And wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, he has told us word for word how to do our life. And what is even harder to fathom, he has come and shown us in person how beautiful the way of wisdom is when it is lived out in even one solitary life. And then he went to all the trouble to make sure it all got written down and placed in our hands. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. When we open our Bibles, when we get to the place, the time, the moment of truth-telling, I think God, the Holy Spirit, says to us, I want to talk with you. I want to talk with you. I have something I want to tell you. And the question is, really, are you listening? I said, are you listening? I'm not asking if you have ears that function or eyes that can see. I'm asking you if you are listening, because if you are hearing, if you're hearing what I am saying to you, I expect you will be willing to change the way you live starting right now and for the rest of your life. Otherwise, no offense, but who do you think you're fooling when you pretend, even to yourself, that you are taking your cues from me? And folks, here is how God and other people can tell if we are only pretending to listen or we are actually being trained in God's way of wisdom. It shows up, James tells us, in the way we are conducting our life. According to my African Bible commentary, James contrasts two types of wisdom: wisdom that is earthly and the wisdom from heaven. He says earthly wisdom rests on lies and thus on the bad use of the tongue. It divides people and sows hatred and jealousy. When people are not paying sufficient attention to God's word, their actions will spring from earthly motives, such as envy and ambition. Any wisdom they claim to have will be earthly and unspiritual because it is of the devil and it divides people. In contrast to the rivalry that characterizes earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom fosters healthy human relationships and peace with others. And brothers and sisters, you can spot the difference a mile away. I can tell you from my only cursory experience, you and this church have a wonderfully mature and spiritually sensitive group of elders and deacons. But I can also tell you with some real grief that I spent years of my adult life attending session meetings and deacons meetings and committee meetings in which, and I'll admit, just one or two members of each group, just one or two, people who had been Christians longer than I had been alive, conducted themselves in such a manner as to create tension and anger and alienation and division in the body of Christ. They wanted control. They wanted their way. And they didn't care if they left blood on the carpet, so to speak, as long as they got what they wanted. They would literally threaten to withhold their substantial tithe or to stop attending church altogether if it didn't go their way. And here is the ironic thing, and I think you could guess this. It was their very behavior that defeated their cause. Thankfully, in every case, the majority who were mature Christians would not bend to their bullying, nor, and this is important, would they stoop to behaving in the bully's manner. Instead, with the wisdom that comes from Scripture, the mature Christians would quietly speak the truth in love, with gentle voices and calm reasoning, trying as best they could to restore unity within the bonds of Christ. And that impressed me every time. Because James tells us in verses 17 and 18, the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. This is, might seem antithetical, but willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. And if the question is, how could anyone win by being that agreeable? God's answer is, how could anyone lose when they do what I have commanded them to do? James concludes our reading for today by trying to get us to see in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, that when people come into the church with selfish attitudes, thinking in terms of winning, thinking that there are winners and losers in the church, as though every issue they're going to face is a zero-sum game in which they must impose their will, they never win victories. They only leave victims. In the body of Christ, such self-centered behavior can only and ultimately be self-defeating. To borrow from Paul Simon, every way you look at it, they lose. And if we wound the body of Christ, it is Jesus who bleeds. And how do we break the vicious cycle of self-centeredness? James's answer is simple and clear. Ask God. And if what we ask for accords with God's will and purposes, no doubt God will see to it. But if it doesn't, the very act of bringing our burden to God in prayer will help us to begin seeing the matter from his perspective. Folks, we are in the middle of harvest season, or I guess in some cases, just at the end of it. James is saying if we want a harvest of righteousness, it's up to us to keep sowing seeds of peace. It's that simple. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.